Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. Go check out reallifepharmacology.com. Get your free study guide on the top 200 drugs. Great little downloadable PDF. No cost to you, simply an email will get you access to that. Also, we'll get you updates with any new podcasts that we have available and other content. So go check that out, reallifepharmacology.com. All right, let's get into the drug of the day today, and that is loperamide. Brand name of this medication is Imodium. You may also see it listed as Imodium AD. So the AD obviously stands for antidiarrheal. So as you can imagine, this drug is used to manage symptoms of diarrhea. Most common situations that I see it used in or idiopathic diarrhea, where we basically can't identify a cause, but the patient kind of leans towards loose stools or has lots of loose stools. Certainly IBS is a common syndrome that can have diarrhea symptoms associated with it, so I've certainly seen it used there periodically on an as-needed basis. Oncology medications, adverse effects from those. Classic one being irinotecan causing diarrhea. Other kind of rare situations, short bowel syndrome. So there's lots of potential causes of diarrhea, and symptomatically, loperamide can potentially help with that. A little bit more, I would say, controversial. I have seen some clinicians use it, and I have others seen others steer away from it. But its use in viral or bacterial infections, again, kind of controversial whether it should or shouldn't be used. There's the theory that it potentially could make the infection worse, essentially by not allowing the gut to move things through as quickly, potentially end up in a toxic megacolon type situation. The potential advantage of using loperamide, if patients are having dramatic fluid and electrolyte loss and it slows that down, you know, obviously that could potentially be helpful. If we can't replace those fluids and electrolytes quick enough, we could run the risk of hypokalemia, for example, and or certainly dehydration. So with that said, patients with, you know, generalized 12, 24-hour stomach bugs, significant diarrhea, I'm generally not recommending those type of patients use loperamide. In other situations where we've got a more prolonged type of situation, it's definitely a case-by-case clinical judgment type situation on whether we should or shouldn't use that. Obviously, if we've got a bacterial infection that can be treated with antibiotics, that's definitely a no-brainer to utilize the antibiotics. And then kind of make that decision clinically on kind of weighing that risk of fluid loss, electrolyte loss, versus that risk of toxic megacolon, which has been reported in the literature as well. Dosing with loperamide. So usually for adults, the most common dosing is going to be 4 milligrams with kind of the first loose stool, and 2 milligrams with each subsequent loose stool after that. OTC recommendation is a max of 8 milligrams, so that's four 2 milligram tablets in a day. With prescription max dosing, you may see up to 16 milligrams per day. One thing I kind of skipped over a little bit here is the mechanism of action, so I definitely wanted to touch on that. Loperamide actually binds opioid receptors. So as you can imagine, we're lumping this medication in with the likes of oxycodone, hydrocodone, morphine, and this medication is available over the counter. So what gives? Is it a controlled substance? Is it not? There may be some states out there that do list it as a controlled substance. I'm obviously not aware of all 50 states and that sort of thing. But there definitely is reports in the literature of people potentially abusing loperamide. The issue with that is it takes excessively high doses, and there are certainly some risks with taking excessively high doses above and beyond the max of 8 or 16 milligrams. And one of those risks is a boxed warning for cardiovascular events. So torsades, cardiac arrest, QTC prolongation as doses escalate. And again, we're maybe talking about those people that are potentially abusing it. We run the risk of those cardiovascular things coming into play. So really, really important patient education thing. Obviously, if you're, you know, running a pharmacy, managing a pharmacy, checking somebody out at a pharmacy, or maybe you're a nurse in a clinic and know they're taking, you know, high amounts of loperamide, that might be why a patient is doing it, but you've got to educate them about the risks of cardiovascular complications from those excessive doses, and obviously refer that patient probably to some sort of more standard treatment regarding opioids or opioid use disorder. So digging into that situation, making a clinical judgment there, and obviously, importantly, identifying if somebody is excessively using loperamide is going to be an important thing to do there. So tying that in, okay, so it binds opioid receptors. If you remember, when we basically have agonist activity at opioid receptors, just remember oxycodone, morphine, they cause constipation, and that's essentially what loperamide is going to do. It's going to block that peristalsis, slow down the gut, and, you know, potentially help with fluid and electrolyte losses, as well as some of the morbidity things of helping people maybe not have to go to the bathroom as frequently either there. So that boxed warning I mentioned regarding cardiovascular complications with excessive dosages, it's also contraindicated in patients under the age of 2 years old. It's actually on the kids list, so I think that's an important thing to note there. Adverse effect, constipation, that's kind of a no-brainer. If patients are having constipation, we need to certainly stop the use of loperamide. In HIV/AIDS patients, be a little bit more careful. Patients may have diarrhea associated with an infection. Remember, these patients are immunosuppressed. So patients with HIV/AIDS may be a little bit more at risk for toxic megacolon when using loperamide in a patient that may be having some sort of bacterial infection causing diarrhea. Other adverse effects, CNS effects like drowsiness, can potentially happen. Again, usually that's going to be at higher doses. And again, tying that in with the pharmacokinetics, loperamide has incredibly low oral absorption into systemic circulation. So the likelihood at kind of standard over-the-counter doses that gets into the central nervous system and has any type of effects is really, really low. Again, acts mostly in the gut there. Elimination of the drug makes sense that if it just kind of stays in the gut, it is primarily excreted in the feces. All right, couple things I wanted to mention in relation to polypharmacy, things I've seen in practice. Whenever you see an order for loperamide, you've got to look at the medication list, okay? And this is especially true, obviously, in our geriatric polypharmacy patients. A drug like colchicine for gout, metformin, acetylcholinesterase inhibitors like donepezil, galantamine is another one, sertraline, another common example that can cause some loose stools. Chemotherapy, if you know a patient's going through treatments, definitely diarrhea is a common adverse effect from many anti-cancer cancer type agent. So again, you see diarrhea, don't think, oh, I'm just going to give them loperamide, it'll help their symptoms and we're good. You've got to look at that medication list and make sure we aren't using medications that are causing that diarrhea versus a, you know, new condition that has come up. So really, really important there. One other thing on the polypharmacy side of things I wanted to mention was be sure you stop loperamide. Believe it or not, I have seen patients on laxatives like Asena and loperamide before, okay? So making sure that we're not contributing to polypharmacy, and if a situation has resolved, like for the classic example I've seen in practice is patient does a course of antibiotics for 7, 10, 14 days. They're having some diarrhea. They're having loose stools. They're given loperamide, kind of PRN, and then, you know, maybe it gets scheduled towards the tail end of that course, and all of a sudden, now the patient's doing well, they're off their antibiotic, and the loperamide gets continued. So I've seen that happen in a couple of cases. So definitely pay attention, and, you know, we really don't want to use loperamide long-term, certainly if we can help it. All right, let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and we'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for any pharmacist board certification study material, like BCPS, NAPLEX, ambulatory care, geriatrics, and others, definitely go check out meded101.com/store, STORE. Great list of resources, comparison tables, questions, videos, PDFs, tons of stuff to help you prepare for each specific board exam that you're looking to try to pass. So go support the sponsor there, meded101.com/store. In addition, if you're another healthcare professional, I've got a book coming out on, it's a flashcard book. So great resource for anyone taking pharmacology classes. I've got Meded 101 Guide to Nursing Pharmacology, Case Studies, Clinical Pearls. All those links you can find meded101.com/store. All right, let's wrap up with drug interactions. So loperamide not being typically readily available in the bloodstream, we're probably not going to have to worry about interactions with regard to that too much. Most of the drug interactions that I worry about are as if people are taking excessive dosages. So, for instance, QTC prolongation. If you've got, you know, an elderly patient on amiodarone, you know, a quinolone antibiotic, an antipsychotic, those are all meds that can contribute to QTC prolongation. And if you've got somebody that's maybe taking excessive loperamide on top of that, that could potentially add to that. Same thing with CNS depressant type activity. Remember I said it's got opioid activity. It just takes crazy high dosages, risky high dosages to get there. But in theory, certainly it could add to CNS depressant type effects if that dose is if the medication is inappropriately and excessively used. And then you've got to think about gut slowing medications. So I think of anticholinergics. That's a great example there. So your diphenhydramine, your hydroxyzine. Opioids, of course, are going to have that same mechanism. So any type of drugs that are going to have additive gut slowing effects, certainly loperamide could potentially add to that. Now, that may be what we're trying to do is slow down the gut, but certainly don't overlook somebody who's maybe taking loperamide chronically if we're causing too much of that due to adding an anticholinergic on top of their medication regimen. All right, well, I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. If you enjoyed this episode, found it helpful, please leave a rating review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Go check out reallifepharmacology.com. Also, big news, we've got a flashcard book coming out. So stay tuned. If you haven't subscribed to the blog, I will be emailing you guys out when that is available. It's going to be on Amazon. It's called Flippin' Pharmacology Flashcards. So really, really excited about that. It's beautiful. It's a great flashcard product with a binding It's going to be a great resource for students, and I'm really excited to be releasing that soon. So, again, pay attention to realifepharmacology.com, and if you subscribe on the website there, you're going to get an email when that's available. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions about the podcast, feel free to reach out to me, mededucation101@gmail.com, or LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP is probably the social media platform I'm on the most. With that, thank you guys so much for listening. Take care, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.